Good news out of Orlando, Florida. This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
One more running back behind Moore with a slot to the left. And fumble on the play.
They
on
got
the
it.
Snap.
They got
they
it.
Keep the Patriots have it.
They Looks do. Like Wilford
recovered by Vincent Wilford.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
With all due respect to my pal Ben Bowler of the Palm Beach Post, I do not believe in Tebow as a quarterback that will be a successful quarterback when guys like Haney and Sanchez aren't throwing pick sixes. Not that Buffalo's been anything great the last couple of months, they haven't. But I don't believe Denver is going to be able to recover going cross country and winning this game. Buffalo +3, they went outright.
And now, it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
The Giants +3, another one. I'm going to give you win the game outright. Don't like anything the Jets do. I don't like their coach. I don't like the fact that they opened their mouths again and gave bulletin board material to the Giants. I'll take Coughlin over Rex Ryan in this one. I have no faith in Sanchez at all. Absolutely no faith. I mean, he's just gone downhill. He's not a good quarterback. Not that Eli is a mediocre quarterback at best, who's had a decent year for him this year. People say it's a very good year. He's had a decent year, had some nice fourth quarters, but he hasn't put it together consistently enough as usual. He's up and down, but he finds it in the Suck Bowl out in Jersey. I will take the New York Football Giants over the New York Jets in that one, +3.
That's being a jackass.
You know, Kevin, I say it here, and it comes out there. Funny how that works. And that wasn't just a hatred of the Jets picking that game, because if I really thought they could win the game, I would have picked them. And I really do believe that Rex Ryan's fat mouth
eating a bunch of cheeseburgers
had a lot to do with it. And I'm the only one bringing this topic up too. Does anyone else feel? And I'm being dead serious. I don't know how you feel about it, Kev. But if Rex Ryan loses this week, and they very well might, it doesn't matter whether they win or lose. If Cincinnati wins, they're out. I'm going to go over all the playoff scenarios, but. Why isn't anybody talking about Rex Ryan losing his job? We know Schottenheimer is going to lose his job. We know that. But this Jet team finishes, they finish 8-8, which I think is a great chance that
they are beautiful.
That they might finish 8-8 this week. Why isn't anybody talking? And they're playing at Miami. That's going to be a tough game for the Jets. There's no question that'll be a tough game for the Jets. Why isn't anybody talking about Rex Ryan being fired? If you want to talk about what's his name in Tampa Bay? Help me out. Okay, what's the head coach's name?
Morris,
who was coach of the year last year.
Who they said would have been fired, but they didn't have enough people to coach the team.
Yeah. But he was coach of the year last year, 10-6, and obviously the Buccaneers have taken a serious setback here. But why isn't anybody talking about Rex Ryan possibly being fired? I'm dead serious. You cannot have a guy. Guys like him don't win. They talk a great game. He's good for the NFL. All that stuff, colorful, you know, whatever. He's also an idiot. I just don't understand. You keep yapping and yapping and yapping like that, and you keep giving bulletin board material after bulletin board material to people and other teams. I mean, you're just getting your butt kicked. They are a disgrace. The Jets have become a laughingstock. They are a cartoon character team led by their fat coach. Or was it Bradshaw that called them a big belly coach? That was just beautiful Sunday. Absolutely beautiful. But we'll get into all that. There is so much going on in the NFL, not just with the Patriots. Oh, it's just crazy playoff scenarios as usual going into the last week. And first of all, I want to wish everybody, hope everybody had a very happy Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. Or whatever other holiday you celebrate. Hope it's and looking forward to New Year's this year again. But, man, there is a ton to talk about. The Patriots-Miami game, we'll start there in a second, obviously. And I'll give you my thoughts on that. And as usual, I'm so glad. Usually I leave my phone on during the game. But I can't even handle that anymore because my friends start texting me all different types of, messages and the doom and gloom, and just like a lot of the fans out there, I have friends who just, you know, panic at the drop of a hat. And yeah, crazy. And, you know, that's why they play four quarters. What I fail to understand, and I said, as soon as they announced in the pregame, right before kickoff, that Matt Light wasn't going to play. See, to me, it's real simple, and I don't know. That's just the way I've been, you know, the way I've taught myself to not panic in situations like that, and to realize to look deeper into all aspects of football. It's not just, you know, flashy players. When Matt Light said he wasn't going to play, I turned to my wife. I said, Elaine, I said, it's going to take him at least a half to get going here. I said, because you just cannot – people, you got to understand what a cohesive offensive line and a unit means. It means a lot to the New England Patriots. I say it every single week. Protect your quarterback. Protect your quarterback. So not only does Light go down, and then Mankins has to move over to left tackle. He goes down, you know, a few minutes later. And now they're really in a hole. So it did not surprise me one bit when that happened. I knew it was going to. You knew it was going to take at the best case scenario at least a quarter and probably a half. And I was expecting a half. Now, did I think they were going to get shut out in the first half? No, I did not. Gostkowski missed a long field goal, a 50 plus yarder at the end of the half. But redeemed himself later on. No, I mean, but the offensive line and the way the way the game started out. Not surprised at all that they couldn't get it going. Miami was blitzing all the time, and the Patriots, a lot of guys playing out of position. You know, it's a lot tougher than people realize. A lot tougher than people realize. And you got to remember, you're down to your second and third string centers who've been doing a great job, by the way, and Wendell and McDonald. Mankins is over. Solder is playing, he's played both, ended up playing left tackle most of the game because of what happened to Mankins. But he's been playing right tackle, and that's great. That's what is so great about Solder. He's so versatile. But you're going to rely on, you know, Marcus Cannon a lot more. And it's just huge. When you have your whole left side was naked, basically. You got Light and Mankins out. Why is it so? Why do people overreact? So it's foolish. You know, if it continued the whole game and they lost 28-0 or something, you know, then I can understand some of the frustration. But you got to realize, and as usual, it's not just with the Patriots. If you did this to any NFL team at the start of the game and basically took out their starting left tackle and starting left guard, they're at the last second now, mind you, at the last second. Not, you know, this is not something they prepared for the entire week like they probably will this week. It'll be a much different scenario this week because those guys will have snaps together, the backups, whoever Bill decides to put in. Because I don't think Light or Mankins are going to play this weekend. And Mankins definitely isn't. Reporting the Herald is out, and they say he's not going to play, which I didn't expect. Doesn't need surgery. Has a sprained MCL. And by the way, before I get, the Patriots also signed a veteran fullback, Luseka Polite. Or Polite, I don't know how you pronounce his name. Is it Polite? I'm going to say Polite. Is it Lusaka or Luseka?
Lusaka.
Love that. Lusaka. He's a fullback, and he played for Miami up earlier this year. He also played for Chicago and Dallas in the past. He's been in the league for 7 years, and Dolphins released him early September this year. So he's on the team to make room. Patriots released defensive back Malcolm Williams, so was signed to the practice squad. I look at the Facebook messages during the first quarter, and as usual, just like in the Denver game, all those people disappear. You don't hear from them after the second half, after the adjustments. And you think they would learn, you know, if you haven't learned by now with this team and the character, not just this year, but for most years, I mean, they make adjustments that other teams don't do. You know, and there's no excuses, and I guarantee you, and if you notice, nobody brought it up. None of the players brought up the offensive line woes as an excuse as to why they started off so slow. Tom at his press conference after the game, Brady, never brought it up. But you know, if you know anything about football, you have got to realize that is devastating. You just had starting left tackle, your starting guard at the last second not be able to play for the most part. You're relying on your second and third centers already. You know, Brian Waters, of course, was there. Vollmer wasn't playing. So you got Solder, who's going back and forth like a pinball from right to left tackle early on, and also playing, you know, some fullback and tight end here and there as well at times. and Marcus Cannon, a rookie. So you're going to have issues early on. And I don't think there's, I mean, I'm not sure there are a lot of teams other than the Patriots that might have overcome what they had to overcome. That is huge in that game. Now, there's some other thing. I mean, you know, Brady wasn't particularly sharp, obviously, but he was also hurried and blitzed. I think it was like 17 times Miami blitzed in the first half. After that, after they came out, they made the adjustments and boom, boom, boom. And I figured they would. I mean, after that drive that with Gostkowski get the field goal at the end of the first half, I said, you know what? They got it. I said to my wife, I said, Elaine, they got them. I said, I just wanted that 3 points right there. I said, they're going to get the ball when they start the second half. I said, and then you watch. I said, I know the defense will come up and make a couple of stops and they'll get a couple turnovers. And they sure did once again, as they usually do. They find a way to make plays. And there's so many people out there who get angry at that because of the yards they give up, and they're still middle of the pack in points allowed. Because of the yards they give up, but you just keep hearing the same people utter the same things over and over again about, well, you know, when the playoffs come around, you know, usually that won't happen. But, well, that's a lot of crap too. It's another blanket statement that you can't make. You have to include, if you want to rip the Patriots defense for net yardage crap, then you got to give them praises for the turnovers that they create. You got to look at it all. You can't just, you know, ignore one aspect of their defense in favor of another. So when you look at the entire package and look at what they've had to go through, and still, I agree, still the biggest disappointment this year for me is still McCourty. But he still came up with a couple of plays. Again, he has these Jekyll and Hyde games every game. Hopefully that will turn around. You know, over the next, you know, when they get to the playoffs. Because they're really going to need him. Mayo had an outstanding game. And don't forget, no Brandon Spikes, no Chung. You still got Sergio Brown starting at safety. And, you know, no Carter. And I think the defense came up big a lot on Sunday. Oh, yeah, they gave up some plays too, obviously. But they made a lot of stops. I mean, Miami punted a lot. And they forced a few turnovers. And I thought it was key, especially in the beginning of the second half, how they played. That allowed the Patriots to get back in the game. Really did. So I'm just saying, look at the whole package before anybody goes crazy. By the way, email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. It's just so much to get to today. But, I mean, so, again, once again, Facebook people and you know, some of my friends who text me during the game who are not in the media but just panic. It is amazing to me how after all these years and after watching, you know, this coach and this quarterback and to not understand what the offensive line was going through early on in that game. I'm telling you. It was a brilliant coaching performance by Belichick, and the execution, the way the guy, again, it was another character game for the Patriots. And what have I said time and time again in professional sports, and especially in the NFL? You find out a lot about your team when things are going badly. Not just, you know, and for the Patriots, man, I don't care if it's a bad series, if it's a bad quarter, a bad play, a bad half. They just say, screw it. And they have a unique ability to block it out for the most part. They really do. And they come back strong. They are resilient. Very different from our little friends in Colorado who got their asses whipped. Not surprised at all. Surprise was 40-14. I realized, like I said, I did not think they would win that game. I just think Denver is a complete fraud team this year. Complete fraud team. They just got extremely lucky during that 7-game stretch, and I can't stress it enough, and I'll argue it with anybody. Those games were, they got incredibly lucky from the quarterbacks they faced to the stupidity of the other team's offenses that gave them, I mean, basically handed them 5 wins out of those 6. And like I said, I didn't think Tebow ever played in the cold before. You fly across country. Not surprised at all that they lost that game. Not one bit. Not surprised the Jets lost at all. Not one bit. When is Rex Ryan finally going to, when is he going to get it? And I know he's never going to, fine, you don't have, don't change it, you know, don't change, you know, privately in front of your players. But my God, man, you cannot keep coming and you're making a jackass out of yourself, to quote your own word. That's what you're doing. And it was funny. I read all the New York papers on Sunday morning, on Christmas Day morning. See, that was my Christmas. That was my Christmas present.
That's being a jackass.
To wake up on Sunday morning after opening presents and everything and going right to the internet and reading all the New York papers. It was absolutely glorious. Glorious. And most of the writers are saying the same thing. Shut up, Rex. Biting off more than you can chew. All that stuff. You're very likely to finish 8-8. 8-8. Mr. We're going to win the Super Bowl again for the third year in a row and this year not even make the playoffs. I mean, how does somebody in that position not understand? Why isn't somebody, I mean, I think it's time, and maybe, and again, privately, I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in the locker room. But I got to figure, at the end of this season, when Schottenheimer gets fired, that, you know, upper management and ownership are going to get with him and say, you know what, you need to tone it down publicly. Do whatever you want, you know, whatever it takes for you to motivate your team or how you think you're going to motivate them during practice. I'm all, you know, do whatever you want. I don't care. Doesn't matter what you do. But you cannot continue to. He is not only is he embarrassing himself, I think he's embarrassing the organization. And then you got Jerry Jones, you know, Mr. Plastic Surgery, who's down on the field during the first quarter when Romo banged his hand. Can you imagine Bob Kraft stepping down on the field, tapping Bill on the shoulder during the game? What do you think you want to do here? What are we going to do? And, of course, Jerry Jones' ego is, you know, bigger than the whole state of Texas anyway. So I just think it's comical. On one sad note, former Patriots defensive tackle Houston Antoine, six-time AFL League All-Star, died today at the age of 72. And he's one of the members of the franchise's 50th anniversary team, died of heart failure on Monday night in Memphis, Tennessee. Oh, my goodness. How about this? And then his wife, Evelyn, died less than 24 hours later of lung cancer. Oh, my goodness. Boy, oh, boy. Well, our certainly hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to their families. Wow. Unbelievable. Anyway, let's put everything in perspective, doesn't it? But getting back to my football rant. It's all these... all these things going on around the NFL. And then you had last night, which, you know, not surprised at all. I don't know about you guys, I had no problem whatsoever in what Sean Payton did. Absolutely no problem whatsoever. You get that record. There's only 30-something yards they needed at the time. You get the record then, and you don't worry about it. You don't worry about it in this week's game coming up. And they're playing home. They're home against Carolina. So now maybe you think about, you know, resting Drew Brees a little bit. You get it out of the way. I had no problem with it. For Mike Smith or any other NFL coach to complain, stop it, in the words of Mike Ditka. Your job, if you knew he was going to go for the record, which you damn well knew he was when he was out there in shotgun, go, you know, at the end. Guess what? I don't care. Play 9 defensive backs then, Atlanta. Your job is to stop him. This is not peewee football. You know, this isn't, liberal society of, the way America is now about we don't want to keep score to hurt little Joey's feelings. This is the NFL. This is not like little Sally and, her 5-year-old T-ball softball team losing 20-0 and, God forbid you teach winning and losing at a young age so you don't turn into a spoiled brat when you get older. But we don't want to do that. That would be too logical. So instead, you try to apply the same logic to the NFL, which is absolutely ridiculous. It's the same crap we had to listen to back in 2007 and a few other years where the Patriots would push the pedal to the metal all the time. It is your job to stop the other team, period. Wouldn't matter to me one bit. I mean, it's the same thing with the Patriots. Same thing that's being done to the Patriots. I don't care. They lose 60-0, and teams run shotgun throwing a ball. Tough. That they can't stop it, they can't stop it. That's their job. Mike Smith, of all people, they said all the right things privately, but publicly, I should say. But there's already a report out there. There's an unnamed Atlanta Falcon saying, we'll remember this. And they very well could be playing in 3 weeks in the playoffs. It could very well be Atlanta at New Orleans in that second round matchup. Very easily. We'll get to that in a second as well. But Mike Smith, I mean, you know they're going for the record. So put your D-backs out there and try to stop them. That's all you have to do is just stop them. Or at least try to. Don't act surprised. You know? And he's had a coaching blunder or two this year as well. Matt Ryan, you know, still threw for 373 yards last night also. So you still, the high-powered offenses continue to do what they do. And if you saw Green Bay play against the Bears, you know, you talk about secondary issues. But they have the high-powered offense to overcome it. But there were some plays in that game, the Packers. You talk about missed tackles and some different things, you know. And they look just as bad at times as some of the Patriots' drives that they've given up. And that is God's honest truth. And then the unfortunate thing that happened this weekend was Richard Seymour blocking suck-up's field goal at the end of the game. That was the worst thing that happened because I really thought Denver would win. I mean, that Kansas City would win. And I still think that Kyle Orton and the Chiefs are going to go to Denver and they're going to win. I think Denver is going to be in some serious trouble. They're going to need some help. Preferably from the Raiders, obviously. But that is going to be a very, very interesting scenario. And I'd actually still almost rather see that game on Sunday night. But instead, we're stuck with the Giants in Dallas because it's for the NFC and it's two, you know, popular teams, the New York market and the Dallas Cowboys, so they have to show that. Which I understand. That'll be a good game, too. That'll be great. And I don't know how anybody with Tony Romo at quarterback in December thinks that they have a good shot to win. He is so bad in the month of December over his career. It really is horrible. As much as I'm not a huge Eli fan, and I know this year, you know, the numbers, especially in the fourth quarter, at times went through a little stretch there at time where he looked really good, but he's come back down to earth big time. But played well on Sunday. And I'll give him credit. Played well on Sunday. I mean, I really, out of all the game, that's why I made it my monster lock. I just said, you know, the Jets are going to, freaking Rex Ryan has bamboozled them again. And he's putting so much extra pressure on that team by opening up his fat mouth every single week. You can't do that. You just can't do that. I mean, he pulls that same crap at the end like he did when he lost to the Patriots 45-3. Let's go out. I'll play him right now. I'll play him right now. I mean, it's childish. You sound like a little kid. You beat me. I'll play again. No. Let's go back and watch you suffer for a while. Yeah. Exactly. Anyway, email me, webradio@patriots.com, or Facebook me as well, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398 as well. And yes, this Patriots defense still has issues. And yes, so do the Ravens, so do the Steelers, so do a lot of other teams. It is, I don't want to say it's wide open, because I don't believe that the Patriots can lose to Oakland or Denver if they come here, or Houston for that matter. I don't. I'm not worried about them. Certainly Baltimore on the road this year, at least in the regular season, has not been very good, and they're going to have a tough game, and I think they're going to probably lose against Cincinnati on Sunday. And the bottom line is in this league, and you've seen the Packers now. You know, they're not invincible. Neither are the Saints. Neither are the Falcons. Neither are the Patriots. Nobody is. It's just going to come down to the bottom line is, It's so stupid. It's simple. It's just if you don't play well, you are not going to win. Now, there are some teams like the Patriots, like the Packers, and like the Saints, and those are the only three that can get away. They can come from behind teams. They have been. They've done it. And hostile environments and not hostile environments. They can do it. They can afford to get down by two or three scores sometimes and come away and come back and fight. And people say, oh, well, it's difficult in the playoffs to do that. Yeah, you know what? It is and it isn't. There's plenty of games over the years about that have been, you know, teams. Some teams have – we've seen teams come back from three touchdowns down before over the years many times. Sometimes more. Who could ever forget Buffalo and Houston? They're down Houston ahead. Warren Moon throwing for like 8,000 yards in the first half. And it was like, I think it was 35-3 at halftime, and Buffalo came all the way back with Frank Reich at quarterback while Jim Kelly was on the bench. Hurt, by the way. I mean, it can happen. I just think it's going to I just think, and even though they didn't put up 30 this week for the first time, I just think the Patriots are basically going to put up 30-plus points every game here at Gillette. And I just don't know if it comes down to a Pittsburgh or a Baltimore. I'm not sure they can keep up. I'm just not sure they can keep up. And again, you cannot bring in last year or the year before. And people, you know, very, very ignorant, keep bringing up the Baltimore game from 2 years ago. Like that has any bearing whatsoever. A game, like I said last week, by the way, if you go back and listen to the old WEI tape, I picked Baltimore to win that game. I just didn't like the way the team was headed, the deflation without Wes Welker, all that stuff. This is a completely different scenario. Because that's the only time the Patriots have lost to Baltimore was that game. I think they're 5-1 or 6-1 against them lifetime. Not that that matters either, because it doesn't. It's all about this, you know, what could eventually happen in another month. I just don't believe that Baltimore on the road this year and in this stadium can put up 30 to hang with the Patriots. I just don't. And I still think the Patriots offer a ton of mismatches for Baltimore, as they do for Pittsburgh. It'll be a much different game if they play the Steelers here than it was, like I said, back in October 30th. Because it'll be 2.5 months later. Much different scenario. Much different. Just like Miami was, we knew would be a much different team. I still thought the Patriots were going to win by 13. They didn't. They won by 3. Garbage touchdown at the end. But, I did not expect them to get down 17-0. I also was not shocked at all when they came back and took a 10-point lead. Not one bit. But I just don't, it's not that Baltimore or Pittsburgh can't win here. They certainly can. It's not an impossibility whatsoever. I just think it'll be a very difficult hurdle for them because I think they're going to have to put up 30. And for those other broadcasters out there, some other sports people, now, again, yesterday, or Saturday, I should say, another example of how to shut some of the other naysayers up, because they're always like, what? You always hear this one too. Well, how are the Patriots, you know, we haven't seen them yet when things haven't gone well and they've gotten a hole and come back. Well, now you've seen that as well. 2 weeks in a row, for the most part. Came back with a vengeance. It's also a character league. People forget that. Patriots have it, Denver doesn't. Patriots have it, Jets don't have it. That's a huge part of the NFL. When things go rotten, how does your team respond after a particular drive or a particular quarter, or a particular half or game or a streak? We know what this Patriot team is all about. It may look ugly at times. You may not have, you know, the 34-15 scores that most of you want to see every week, but nobody does. But my God, the team is 12-3. They have the number one seed right now. They're going to get the number one seed because if you think that Buffalo's going to come in here on Sunday and win, you guys are crazy. Anybody is insane. They got lucky. They had four picks by Brady. Two were deflected that led, but regardless, it led to 24 points for Buffalo after the Patriots raced out to a 21-0 lead. I think you'll be seeing a little bit different scenario. I'm not going to say it's going to be 50-10, but I'm not going to be. Buffalo's not winning that game here. Buffalo is not going to win that game here on Sunday. Ain't going to happen. You can mark that down. I don't care what the line is. Take the Patriots in the over because they're going to put up 35-40 in that game. I have no doubt. You know, it's unfortunate what happened in game, but again, that was back on September 25th. Basically, it's going to be 3 months and a week after that game. And Brady, who has been, you know, just hasn't turned the ball over in 7 weeks or whatever. He's had one interception. There's another thing I heard today on the radio. And I forget who said it on what station. I forget who said it. It's like somebody was saying, wasn't it like 6 weeks ago where we were all talking about Brady's going to, you know, there's no way Brady's going to have finished the season without at least 20 interceptions? Huh? Huh? Where does that come from? Where does that come from? What, I mean, I sit here, I am just amazed, I am still amazed at some of the stupidity, not all, on ESPN and NFL Network. Really, it is unbelievable. And I'll give you an example, the good and the bad. I thought the best that I saw this weekend was an NFL countdown on Saturday when they did that roundtable with Susie Colbert, who I think is just terrific. I love her stuff. And sitting around with her and Dilfer and Tom Jackson, and what they were doing was basically analyzing, and they didn't say the word character, but that's what they were talking about regarding the Patriots. And I thought it was a good discussion that they had. They were talking about some different things, and the word that they used, which they do not use a lot with other teams, was preparation. 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 How this team is always ready for any scenario. Now, it may not always work out the way they like, or they may not always execute the way they want to, but they're ready for it at least. You can see they don't panic. They don't get confused. That is a huge difference. That is an incredible asset to have on a football team, especially this time of year. Huge intangible. Doesn't get talked about enough. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and that team are prepared for anything and everything. And we've seen that over the years, too. So, you have to factor all that stuff in. You have to. So I thought it was a good 15-minute discussion. And what I was shocked at a little bit was when they were going through, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. They went around the table, and Tom Jackson said, "I don't care. I'll take Tom Brady." He goes, "There's something about that guy that," and he went on and on with all these accolades, and, you know, that's fine. And you can make a case for any of those three quarterbacks. But I'll still take number 12 in the red, white, and blue when it's all said and done. Because you know what he's capable of doing in crunch time. He's done it so many times. And it's not that Aaron and Drew are not great quarterbacks, because they certainly are. And I really find it hysterical that probably Brady's going to end up with more yards than Brees at the end of the season. Or very close to it. I think Brady's only, what, 205 away? Something like that? I got to look it up. He's going to break it on. I mean, he's going to break it on Sunday. He's going to finish ahead of Brees. Oh, so, Kev, are we stopping the game? Do you have authority? Are you going to stop the game on Sunday?
I haven't decided yet because, you know, it is my decision. So I just may run out on the field and, you know, wave my arms in the air and maybe give Tom a hug while he's in the huddle or something like that.
I think you should stop the game.
Think maybe have some pyrotechnics go off and stuff like that?
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know. And except
maybe have a guy parachute into the stadium.
You know what the funny thing was? It is, though. It won't be Marino's record anymore.
No,
it'll be Drew Brees. Tom Brady broke Drew Brees' record.
Pretty much.
Of 1 week. Not even. That's what it's come down to.
What I was, and I had this debate with, I live with three guys, Pete, and we were all huddled around the TV watching this game last night.
Sure you were, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they give me a little bit of grief because they think I'm a homer because I work here and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they're all from here. They just think that they're more objective than me. And I'm sitting there watching this game, and they're up by 18 points or whatever it was inside of four minutes left. And they're going no huddle, five wide, spread the ball. And I was like, if we were doing that, we would be crucified.
Well, they are getting – some people are crucifying. It's ridiculous because
– But I mean
– I have no problem with them.
I was wondering as to how it would be perceived.
Oh, you're right. It would be much worse here because New Orleans is like the new America's team because
people
of Katrina.
People hate us anyway.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, they love Drew Brees, and it's because – but they're taking some flack over it. I think it's ridiculous that they are. But if we're here, oh, my God, please. Are you kidding me? 60 Minutes would be here doing a piece on the lack of ethics in professional football. Honestly, it is really, really hysterical, the double standards that get played. And I had, like I said, I have no problem at any time, any place, anywhere in the NFL, teams trying to score at any point. That's their job. Your job is to stop them. You can't do it? Don't cry about it. Tough. And then I tortured myself today for 2 hours from 10 to noon I watched ESPN's First Take because, see, my comedy relief is watching Skip Bayless have these ridiculous out-of-body experiences when Tebow's name is mentioned. And certainly the last couple of weeks, and he's with Mangini, Jemele Hill, and forget the other girl's name who was there sitting there, but I'm not a big fan, as you know, of Jemele Hill. I don't think she should even have a job, but she does. But Eric Mangini actually was pretty good. I think he's gotten a lot better over the last this year as an analyst. I still have issues with him from some other things, but as an analyst, I think he's gotten pretty good. But to listen to him debate Skip Bayless about Tebow, it was just Skip Bayless is, to me, he's usually, he's one guy that's usually, for me, he is either dead on or way off. There's never gray area. You know, he had some great analysis about Derrick Rose and the Bulls, and I thought it was dead on, and about a couple of other basketball issues. And you start talking about the NFL, and then he gets into the, you talk about binkies. He's got a Tim Tebow binky. But it's not logical. It's not logical. And he keeps talking about, you know, all these great things that he's done, and he hasn't. You know, it's just all the stuff I've been telling you over the last, they just got extremely lucky with that schedule and those quarterbacks that they faced during that stretch. Yeah, he made a couple of plays here and there. But like I said, if for the most part, it was the absolute stupidity and ineptness of the other team's offenses, Prater kicking monster field goals. I mean, that's what it came down to. But to listen to, I tell you, it's must-watch television when Bayless is on talking about Denver. It's hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. And I can't wait for this week coming up. I cannot wait for Kansas City and Denver. And that's a 4:15 game. So that's perfect. That's what the Red Zone Channel is for. So while the Patriots are mopping up the Bills here and hopefully just trying to stay healthy. And that's all you want out of Sunday's game, basically. I mean, I know the number one seed is on the line, but you really want to come out of there healthy, and hopefully they will. I mean, you never know. I mean, who knew that Matt Light and Logan Mankins would go down Mankins pregame with an ankle injury and Logan during the game? But even with those two out of the lineup this week, now that the Patriots have sufficient prep time for it, I think you're going to see a much different start by the Patriots than you did on Sunday. Saturday. I mean, I just don't think people understand enough about the cohesiveness of an offensive line, what it takes. When you are just thrust into that kind of a scenario without having sufficient preparation time, you know, it's going to take a quarter or two to adjust to that. All right, here's what we need to do. Take a quick break. When we come back, and go over the playoff scenarios for you. We'll make fun of the Jets a little bit more. All the emails at webradio@patriots.com and Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. And we're back with more on the Pete Shepard Show here on Patriot.com, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Back right after this.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. but that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Back here on, it's my show, Pete Shepherd Show. We do it Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday right here on Patriots.com between 4 and 6. Again, take your phone calls at 508-298-0398. We get live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, or you can email me, webradio@patriots.com. Theodore from Jacksonville on Web Radio says, hey, Pete, did you get a chance to see Deion Sanders' comments on NFL.com? I did. And I thank you for bringing him up because I forgot to read another idiot not you, Theodore, Dion, but he says so many stupid things and he's wrong all the time. And I don't think he's ever said anything about the Patriots that's even worth repeating, but I'll read your email. The guy needs to calm down. He's saying all this crap about the Patriots needing home field advantage, and we can beat up on the Raiders, Texans, and so, but if it boils down to the Ravens and Steelers, we don't have a chance. Once again, Coach Scarnecchia getting the offensive line going after Mankins and Light went down. I think Donald Thomas did a hell of a job at guard, and Cannon's going to be a beast. Love the show as always. F the Jets, and Rex is a fat bastard laughing out loud. Yes, we know that. Yeah, well, Deion Sanders, once again, I mean, if you can understand anything that he even says, I mean, I really think you need, I like to put the closed caption button on when he's talking because I can't understand anything he says, to be honest with you. It's that bad. And I'm being dead serious. He's always doing the screaming and yelling and just, it's just not. What Deion says about the New England Patriots is absolutely irrelevant. Well, I just don't. It's another case of how ex-athletes, guys like him, getting jobs and having really they just have biases and agendas and have no idea what they're talking about, none. And I have yet to hear one analyst come out and talk about the Patriots' woes on offensive line at the start of that game, and that being one of the key reasons as to why they got off to such a slow start. I have not heard it once, and if I didn't, and you guys did, I apologize, because I haven't heard it anywhere. And that's the first thing I said, before Mankins even went, when Matt Light went down, I said to Matt, this is going to take a half, probably a quarter to a half, to get this thing going. Because it's a difficult situation. And I have yet to hear one analyst point that out, yet, on ESPN or NFL Network. Not one. And why the character of the Patriots is not being discussed more is beyond me also. And I wonder what Deion Sanders would say. I wonder if he was critical about the Ravens and their road record this year and about how more than likely they're going to lose again on Sunday. Let me get to some of these emails, and I'll get over the playoff scenarios. I know these emails have been up here for a while. And on Facebook, too. Let's see. Lucas says, Pete, how do you shout for an entire? I don't know about that. By the way, I told you the feet eater and the Jets would go right down the toilet. Can Kevin play the sequence where he shouts, eating a bunch of bleep cheeseburgers? Eat feet, Rex.
Eating a bunch of f-ing cheeseburgers?
My young friend Max, who's a T-Bow guy, but I think has probably seen the light. Hey, Pete, I went to my first Patriots game ever, although I have been a Pats fan all my life. It was a great experience to finally go to a game, especially a win. Also, I'm excited that the Jets will make the playoffs. I hope they get it. They give up on Mark Sanchez. I think that's a distinct possibility. Lucio says, Pete, just wanted to comment on a few things. First, I can't believe that the New England Patriot fans booed the Patriots. Also, why do people keep overreacting? They should be glad we can scratch our way out of a 17-0 hole. And last, I was very happy about the changes on the defense that Bill did. Proves how much of a genius he is. Go Patriots. Lucas comments saying, spoiled brats, they all are. I was talking about the fans booing. Hell, in 2001, the team walked around the field to high-five and the fans, and the fans were on their feet because finally the team was winning games. And now look at what they've become. Media products. Well, a lot of the fans have, a lot of them are impatient. And I just, again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think enough people get it. How difficult the situation that was at the start of that game, losing Mankins and Matt Light right at the start. It's a very, very difficult scenario. Then there's a whole bunch of stuff. Let's see. Let me get to some of this on Facebook. A couple of debates about Aaron Rodgers and who's had the better year and all that stuff and on and on and on it goes. Jason says, so Pete, as I was listening to Chris Carter once again, it's another one I forgot to bring up. As I was listening to Chris Carter once again trash the Patriots defense today, and this he wrote this yesterday, I had an epiphany. If the defense is so bad and the team is 12-3, soon to be 13-3, and will be the AFC's number one seed, how can Brady not be the MVP? I mean, if this is where the word defense in the history of the league, worst defense, Carter did actually say this, and Brady still wins 13 games, who could possibly be more valuable? Something you can float on your show tomorrow, but if you choose, I am wondering when you are on live and can't listen, but I can download podcasts faithfully. Thank you. Appreciate it, Jason. No, you're absolutely right. And there's no question that Tom Brady should be in the MVP discussion, but you know how it's going to go. It's going to be Rodgers, and it's unfortunate because if it was any other year, even with Breeze breaking Marino's record, Breeze probably would have come in second. But Brady's going to break Marino's record too on Sunday, in my opinion. It's going to get done. And you're right. I think Tom, but the problem is the national media is too stupid. They won't delve into what exactly they don't think like that, Jason. They don't see what Tom Brady's had to overcome. That a good offense has, you know, you can hide some of these defensive deficiencies because of the points they score. Even though the defense does create a lot of turnovers and they get points off of it, that's the biggest asset. And they did have some semblance of a pass rush this year at times when Carter was out there. But most of these national media idiots get caught up in net yardage and nothing else. And they don't do enough homework. They don't look at all the games. They don't watch enough games. They do flash over substance statistics. And you can't analyze that way. That's what Deion Sanders does. Deion Sanders is a freaking tool. He's a joke. What comes out of it? I mean, actually listen to what he says about the National Football League. If you can understand it without closed caption on, you know, God bless you. But really, listen to what he says, not just about how badly he hates the Patriots, and it's so ridiculously over the top. And he's done this before. He's done this for years, not just on when he was on CBS, when he was on ESPN, whatever it was. It's not the first time. I don't think he's a very smart football guy. And if you're talking to him about playing the cornerback position, that's one thing. Nobody better than him. Give him all the accolades you want. When he's sitting there as an analyst, and he's not alone, a lot of these guys are just lazy. They're just lazy. They look at SportsCenter highlights, and that's what they go by. They haven't watched the whole game. They haven't gone back to the film room like Jaworski does. They just haven't. And, I mean, you can just tell. And their personal biases are so over-the-top bad. Their agendas. They can't sit there like I can and say, look, it's going to take a half of them to get going. It's not making excuses because I'm not, because they probably could have done, they probably could have looked a little bit better despite the offensive line woes. But I've seen it before. Look what happened when the Jets lost their starting center. Look how unprepared they were. Go back to that Baltimore game that Sunday night a few months ago. Look how unprepared they were. The Patriots lose Cope and Wendell comes in and steps right in. They don't miss a beat. And even Nick McDonald's come in and done a real nice job. Playing some center and some playing, playing guard as well on Saturday. You know, why? Preparation, preparation, preparation. They're ready. Now, when you lose your top two on the left side right off the bat and you're not, it's going to take a little while to get going because you're not expecting that. It doesn't happen very often where your left tackle and left guard are gone in the first, 8 minutes of the game. But people like Deion Sanders are not smart enough to delve deeper into that. They're simply, whatever the best highlight is that's what you go with. And they do it all the time to try to invoke, get a reaction by saying stupid things or trying to be the fake contrarian. It's so awful. And it happens in this town, too. It happens in New England, too. A lot of reporters do the same thing around here. A lot of radio people do the same thing. What they think is they're trying to be fair and balanced, but what it comes off as at times is way over the top. I've always been a realist when it comes to this team. And people like to say, oh, you're this, you're that. I heard people on the radio today take a stupid kindergarten shots at this network and some of the stuff. But if you obviously have not listened or gone over the shows and how I analyze these games, and I'm not sitting here saying that the Patriots or any other team is a lock to win the Super Bowl because it'd be foolish. And it is Chris Berman even summed it up on Saturday. He's like, it's so hard to handicap this league. So that being said, I mean, the Patriots are one of four teams that could probably win it. Or five teams that could probably win it. No doubt about it. Even the Falcons. I mean, would anybody really be shocked if the Falcons got to the Super Bowl? I wouldn't. I know it was bad last night, and usually the road team plays very well in that rivalry, and they may play again, very well may play again in a couple of weeks. But, you know, I'm a realist. I'm not saying the Patriots are locked to go all the way and get there. I think they have a great shot. All I'm saying is I think it's going to be extremely difficult for anybody to come in here and put up 30 points on this team. Bad defense or not. You know? It's going to be difficult. And teams like, I mean, just, you look at Baltimore, you look at Pittsburgh, and you got to be realistic in the fact that they're not perfect. If the Patriots played on the road this year, like Baltimore did, all you think it's bad now, people will be losing their minds. Losing their minds. And let's look for a second. Patriots at home, the amount of points they've given up. 21. 21. 16. 24. 3. 24. And 24. The most points they have given up this year at home is 24. Now, I just don't, and that was to the Giants. And if it wasn't for Sergio Brown's, you know, bad pass interference penalty, which he deserves, they keep saying weekly, it wouldn't even have been that. It would have been Dallas at, or it would have been, you know, Indianapolis had 24. And again, a lot of garbage stuff there, even though it came down to an onside kick and I understand all that. But we're still, they were down by 28 points in that game. They were down 31-3. So. I don't know. I guess it's possible. I mean, anything's possible in this league. We know that. We've seen goofy things happen. I have a very hard time believing that Baltimore-Pittsburgh come into this stadium and can put up 30. I freaking know Denver won't, and I know Oakland won't, if that ever happens. I know Houston won't. Cincinnati, if they get through, doubtful with a rookie quarterback. Impossible? No, but I think it'll be very difficult. Well, Rhonda, let's get to the playoff scenarios for a second. Then we'll take another quick break and come back with the second hour of the show. But I want to get to the playoff scenarios, as I know some of you who are listening all over the world, and we thank you that, especially all the servicemen out there, especially during the holiday season. Thank you so much for your service, and I continue to get lots of messages from you guys, private ones and public ones. And trust me, you are the ones. I want to thank all of you for your service to this country, first and foremost. All right, here's the thing. Let's start with the NFC because it's much easier. Much easier. Okay, San Francisco. There'll be a quiz at the end of the show, so write this down. The 49ers clinch a first-round bye. Can clinch a first-round bye. All they have to do is win. Or if they tie, and New Orleans loses or ties, or New Orleans loss. And again, New Orleans has Carolina at home. The Saints clinch a first-round bye with the New Orleans win and San Francisco loss or tie, or New Orleans tie and San Francisco loss. So basically, New Orleans needs to win and San Francisco lose. Then they get the bye. The Giants clinch the NFC East. It's real simple. They win or tie. Dallas is in with a win or a tie. The loser is out. Out of the playoffs. AFC looks like this. Patriots clinch home field throughout the AFC. Obviously, if they win or tie, or Baltimore loses or ties, plus a Pittsburgh loss or tie. Now, Pittsburgh's home to Cleveland, which they're going to beat them silly. And Baltimore is going to be at Cincinnati, and I think the Ravens are going to lose. Baltimore clinches the AFC North Division in a first-round bye with a win or a tie, and a Pittsburgh loss or tie, or a Pittsburgh loss, which I don't see happening. I don't. Baltimore clinches home field advantage throughout the AFC, obviously if the Patriots lose and Baltimore wins. Let's get to the Steelers. They clinch the AFC North Division in a first-round bye with a Pittsburgh win and a Baltimore loss, which I think is going to happen, or a Pittsburgh tie and a Baltimore loss. So my feeling is Pittsburgh and Baltimore, when this is all said and done, are going to flip-flop. Pittsburgh is going to be the two, And Baltimore's going to be the 5. But we'll get to that in a second. Denver clinches the AFC West with a Denver win. So basically, they still control their own destiny. They clinch the AFC West with a win or a Denver tie, an Oakland loss or tie, or an Oakland loss. Oakland gets in with a win and a Denver loss or tie, or Oakland tie and Denver loss. So basically, Denver controls their own destiny. If they win, they're in. If they don't win, and I don't think they're going to, I think Kansas City's going to win, the Raiders can get in if they beat San Diego at home, and I think they will. I thought San Diego, to me, the most disappointing of anybody last week. And as much as I had a great week again picking games last week at 10-6, and I was 10-5-1 the week before, Monster Lock is back on track at 2 in a row. I thought I picked San Diego at plus 2.5. I thought they would play a much better game, but Phillip Rivers really, really sucked in the second half. I mean, it was awful. That pick 6 he threw to the defensive end was as bad as it gets. Bad as it gets. Continuing on with the playoff scenario. So the Raiders, basically, I think the Raiders are going to end up with that 4 seed, and I think Denver's going to be out. So the Raiders will win, and the Raiders are going to win in the Denver loss. Now, let's get to the real nitty-gritty. Cincinnati clinches a playoff spot with a win or tie, so they control their own destiny. Bengals win, they're in. Second possible scenario with the Bengals. Jets lose or tie, plus an Oakland loss or tie. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to not say ties. We can just assume that ties are always in the second part of the equation. There's a third scenario the Bengals can get in, is with a Jet loss and a Denver loss, which very easily could happen. Jets are in Miami, and Denver's home to Kansas City. So Cincinnati could still lose to Baltimore and get in. The Jets can get in. This is the best part. The Jets get in if they win, and they need Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Oakland to all lose. The Jets can get in if Cincinnati, Tennessee, and Denver all lose. So they need a ton of help. And Tennessee can clinch a playoff spot with a win, a Cincinnati loss, plus a Jets win, plus an Oakland loss. Scenario number two. Tennessee can get in with a win, plus a Cincinnati loss, plus a Jet win, plus a Denver loss. So, I mean, in the third scenario, Tennessee win, Cincinnati plus a Cincinnati loss, plus a Jet loss, plus an Oakland win, plus a Denver win. So it is really, really interesting the last week of the season. The only team, and really the Jets have the biggest, even though technically the Titans probably have, and on paper may be the toughest road, but look at it this way. I mean, what scenario would you rather have? You're the Jets, you got to win the game, which I think is going to be tough in itself. Hope Cincinnati loses. What's it playing Baltimore? What's possible, but Baltimore on the road is not good, and Cincinnati, I think, will get it done. But it's still possible. A Tennessee loss, and Tennessee has got at Houston. And that game doesn't mean much to Houston. It means everything for Tennessee. So, again, the Jets win. Would you rather have that scenario? Jets win plus a Cincinnati loss, a Tennessee loss, or Oakland loss. Well, the Jets get in if Cincinnati loses, Tennessee loss, and a Denver loss. Or would you rather be Tennessee, which have Cincinnati loss, a Jet win, plus an Oakland loss? Or for Tennessee, once again, they win. All this is pending. Tennessee has to win their game. They also need a Cincinnati loss and a Jet win, or a Cincinnati loss and a Jets loss and an Oakland win, plus a Denver win. It gives you more. The Titans have more scenarios to get in, and they're all reachable. It's not like it's one of those games where it's not like like the Packers are playing or the Patriots are playing the worst team on the rest of the year, and even Indianapolis, if we're going to consider them the worst team, is still playing pretty well right now. So I think it's really, really interesting. So here's what I see, I mean, if the playoffs started right now, we know the Patriots and Baltimore would be 1-2. Cincinnati and Houston would be the 3-6 game. And Pittsburgh and Denver would be the 4-5 game in the AFC. Well, what I think is going to happen, I'll go back over this on Thursday again, but I really believe that it's going to be the Patriots. I think Pittsburgh is going to win, beat Cleveland. I think Denver is going to lose. The Raiders get in. And I think Baltimore, I tell you, I think Baltimore's going to lose, and I think Cincinnati's going to win. And Houston, Houston is 10-5, so they're locked into the three seed because no matter what happens with the West, Denver's either going to be 9-7 or 8-8. Same for Oakland. So no matter what, the Houston Texans are locked into that three spot. So the way I see it happening here, it's going to be the Patriots and Pittsburgh as the 1-2. And then you're going to have Cincinnati-Houston. That'll stay in the 6-3. But you're going to have Baltimore and, I think, Oakland in that in the 4-5 game. Because Oakland would win the division under my scenario if they beat San Diego, and I think Denver loses. It's very possible. I mean, if somehow San Diego finds the strength or whatever pride they have left and can somehow beat, I mean, certainly Denver can lose and back in. If Denver loses and Oakland loses, Denver gets it. But no matter what, it's going to be Baltimore having to travel on the road that first playoff game for them. And it'll either be at Oakland or at Denver. That's the way I see it. So in that scenario, I think anything is possible. Anything is possible in that scenario. Baltimore, Denver, Baltimore, Oakland. That's the way I think it's going to match up. And I think it's going to be Oakland. The NFC is pretty easy. Green Bay and San Fran 1-2, and then you got. I think it's going to stay just like this. I think the Giants will beat Dallas, so they'll get in and get the four. And then you're going to have. It looks like you're going to have Atlanta and New Orleans again as the 6 against the 3 for the third time this year. And then you're going to have Detroit and the Giants. Detroit will go to the Meadowlands and play there. That's what I think is going to happen. So that's really some interesting scenarios. And the key funny stat for the whole thing is the Jets will miss the playoffs. And finish at 500. Because it's going to be a real interesting game for them to see what happens when they play in Miami this week. Really, really interesting scenario. 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's the number how to get in touch with me here at the on Patriots.com. I'm here till 6 o'clock. Also, email me, webradio at Patriots.com, and Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. So to me, that is the most realistic scenario. Oh, sorry about that. Okay. Oh, okay. The computer didn't tell me we've had callers on hold. Oh, sorry about that, guys. I did not realize what was going on with the phone, so I apologize. Let's go to Steve in Missouri. You're up first here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Enjoying that win on Miami and also enjoying the Jets loss.
Oh, isn't it beautiful? Wasn't that great Christmas morning?
That made my day. Yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful. Reading the New York papers is just it's just wonderful.
I think you're enjoying it as much as I am.
I did. I am.
I listen a lot. I had a quick question.
Yep.
I love the Patriots. I've been a fan since Brady. Loved him in college.
Really?
He turned me into a...
No, wait a second. You grew up in Missouri?
Yes, sir.
And you're not a Rams fan, or you weren't a St. Louis Cardinal fan back in the day?
Oh, no, hey, no.
You didn't like Neil Lomax?
I was a Niners fan, actually.
Oh, so you're a bandwagon guy. You just go from winner to winner.
Now, see, hold on there. I was a Niners fan, loved them.
Until they started to lose, right?
Well, it broke my heart. They traded my guy to the Chiefs.
Yeah, but he came back and beat him in that one game.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I was a Chiefs fan then. Yeah, I love Montana.
So you were a Chiefs fan, and now you're a Brady fan. You're a Patriot fan. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a Notre Dame fan, so.
Oh, good God.
Well, I mean, Michigan plays Notre Dame every year. I saw Tom Brady play. Yeah.
Why aren't you a Missouri fan? They had a nice win over North Carolina yesterday.
I don't know. Just never any ties, really.
Really? But you live in the state.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, you can't love. It's just like a woman. You just can't love someone just because you're supposed to.
No, well, I understand that, but it's. I mean,
you don't have any. Never was when I was younger. I didn't like Norm Stewart.
Really?
Curry, Big Eight, just.
How about college basketball?
What's that?
How about college basketball? you want Notre Dame college basketball guy too, or just football?
I mean, I'll watch them every now and then, but no, football, Notre Dame, I love them, but. I don't know. Probably have to go with old Mike
Krzyzewski. Oh, jeez. Notre Dame, Duke.
Hey, so we've had some bad years now. Notre Dame, we haven't won since 88.
Oh, I know. I know.
We should have another championship. 93, we got screwed. I mean, Florida State got that championship. They shouldn't have. BC beat us, I know, but we beat Florida State that year. Definitely not. And Duke hasn't been that good till. A couple years ago, we finally won one again.
Oh, yeah, last year.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Last year they beat Butler.
Patriots fan here in Missouri. It was bad being a Niners fan when I was growing up in the playground, but I loved, like I said, Tom Brady.
Yep.
He's just good. That's what I'm calling.
Yep.
And I hated Bill Belichick when I was younger.
Sure you did. He wasn't winning. He wasn't winning.
Belichick.
Yeah, hated them all. Yeah.
Pepper. Now, you know.
Now you love him.
Because
they're winning.
After, Belichick went with Brady in 01. I was like, oh, I love this guy. This guy's the man. But lately, I want to take your take. What about you think about the decisions last 3 years we've had for personnel? It's hurt me so bad.
What's hurt you? They went 14-2 last year.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to go 13-3 this year.
It's because of number 12.
It goes a lot deeper than that.
We can do a lot more. There's that. It's just. It looks like to me we're wasting these years with Brady. I think we could have done a lot more.
Wasting years with Brady.
Edelman out there playing D-back. I mean, that's just not right.
Okay, but you also remember McCourty was hurt. You still have Patrick Chung, the starting safety out.
Sure.
Spikes
has been
injured.
He's always been on the pass. He's always, you know, had Buckley back there or another guy that, you know, has came through, you know, Randall Gay.
Yeah,
I'm
but
just saying, it's been pretty mixed.
They were 14 and they were 14 and 2 last year. They're 13-3 this year. I mean, yeah, the Baltimore game 2 years ago in the playoffs was a massive letdown. It went a lot further.
We kept Seymour instead of Wolfork. I love Wolfork, but Seymour's we should have paid him. It looks like
no. Go back and look who they got. What happened? The players that they got. You can understand.
We keep trading away.
Trading away
for 5 more years.
My friend, they traded away draft picks. They ended up getting Welker and Randy Moss. They did other picks.
Yeah.
They got other picks also from all these moves that they did. Not all of them worked out. We know that. But that's true for every single team. But they have gotten guys like Vollmer and Nate Solder and, you know,
out.
What do you mean? A couple? What about Gerard Mayo? McCourty was an All-Pro last year.
He was a top 10 pick, and he's, you know, he's a first round caliber, but he's not a top 10 guy, though.
Who?
Patrick Willis.
Who? Who are you talking about?
Mayo? Oh, yeah, he's a great linebacker, but he's not like top 10, though. He's not a Richard Seymour.
Well, the two different positions. Number one,
let me
clue you on Richard Seymour this year. I mean, he had some dumb, stupid, cost his team more than once this year
with his stupid
plays.
That was a business decision.
That was a business decision that they did, and I worked out
for field goals last week and won the game.
Well, yeah, he did. He blocked a suck up field goal last week. That's another team you should be rooting for, Kansas City.
Oh, I am. Don't worry. No, I like Kansas City. I do. I live here. Montana turned me. I Bono, Gerbach, Trent Green, sure. I'm just wondering. That's okay. I just wanted your take. So you give him a pass then.
Give who a pass?
You give him a pass.
What do you mean give him a pass?
He's done fine. He's done the best. He's done his job, you're saying.
Is it perfect?
I just want to know because he always says, do your job. And I just want to know, can he look in the mirror and say, I've done my job?
They're the number one seed again.
Because the players he's put, he's a great coach. He's not like the greatest quarterback probably ever played the game. And he's a great coach. I'm not taking that away from
him. I'll just leave you with this, okay? And I appreciate you, Pat. You got to understand, point that hard-hitting analysis at every single team in the NFL. Look at the Indianapolis Colts. Look at all the great picks that Irsay made. How'd that work out for him?
Hey,
when it was all said and done,
you're right.
They
that's great.
Did
that's great.
Not draft for depth. And if you don't have depth in this league,
that's correct.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's it correct. Goes. Are the Patriots perfect? Of course not. Nobody is. But I mentioned this last week or the week before. If you pulled every single general manager in the National Football League and asked them if the Patriots are doing things the wrong way or the right way, 100% of them would say they're doing things the right way.
Oh,
that doesn't mean
no,
you hit.
I'm not disagreeing with you that way. No. I love Bill Belichick. Don't get me wrong.
No, no. I'm just saying we always like to, they like to talk about all the misses that he's had, and there've been some clunkers, but the good has far outweighed the bad.
Well, I think,
far outweighed the bad.
I think a lot of that, like I said, he did good with bringing in, like I said, getting Randy for a fifth rounder. That's awesome. Wes Welker for a second round. They need to pay him as well, and you know, getting Logan late, but. Number 12 is, you know, masked a lot of that. I mean, I remember in his days in Cleveland. I mean, there were without that quarterback, you know, it's hard to do.
Yeah, but that was a totally different game back then, and Bill had to make it's one of the
football.
Toughest decisions. Yeah,
but it changes, you evolve with it. I mean, you can't say that.
Oh no, but I'm telling you, the game was well. That team, that Cleveland team in the in '94 or '93 when he was there, completely different. Completely
sure,
different.
Saying, but it's still. I mean, you're a coach. You're doing. You evolve with the team. Like right now, the passing.
Well, he did.
Receivers.
And he did evolve with the team.
Right.
He did evolve with the team.
That's why I was asking. I want to know, you know, what you thought. And I can tell you're 100%.
I'm just telling you that every team has hits and misses. And there are teams.
The last few years, I mean, if you've got the best organization, you've got the best coach, you've got the best quarterback, Pittsburgh, Green Bay, they've had the best GMs. It's, without that, when we're taking guys like, who do we take? Chad Jackson. You know, they're not taking it. They're taking, you know, Holmes. If we're taking Taylor Price, they're taking, you know, a Wallace.
Yeah, but that, but
I mean, they're just, you know, we're trading Clay Matthews. Yeah. They're getting him.
Yeah, but Clay Matthews. You can debate back and forth on that and go through all different kinds of picks. They're also been able to get Gronkowski. They got Hernandez.
Every person you name.
And Steve, thanks for the call. Any person you name that you think they didn't get, I'll give you two that they did get. I mean, you can play that game all day, and all year long. I mean, that stuff gets so overblown and overhyped. They have done a damn good job. They're sitting here again as the number one seed going into the last week, and they're going to get it. They were 14-2 last year. I mean, the player personnel decisions, perfect. No, nobody's are perfect. Not one team in the NFL. They all have hits and misses. But this team has, you look, just take a look at the Indianapolis Colts, and I'll say it again. If you think Belichick was coaching that team or running that team the way he would have ran this team, that they would be in so much trouble like they are, you think they would have finished 2-14? No way. No way. Again, flash over substance. Indianapolis, flash, Patriots substance. I'll take the substance. Here's buddy Tyrone in Delaware up next here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Hi, Tyrone.
Hey, hi, Pete.
Merry Christmas to you.
How's your holiday?
Good. Hope yours was well, too. Very well.
Yeah. Everything was good. I was checking my Patriots app, and I saw Antoine.
Yes.
Passed away Monday night. I was sort of, you know, say condolences to that.
No, I agree. It was an awful story. And then his wife died 24 hours later of lung cancer. It's just horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, that's bad. Well, you know how it is.
Yeah, it's.
Well, the last time I called you, run me. It was it's all good. I take it personal. I'm gonna bring something new to the table.
All right, bring
something new. Show, so I ain't
before you go on, I'll let you have the floor for a sec. But before you go on, I remind you that 5 weeks ago you said this team would be one and done, and why watch the rest of the season because you don't think they're going to win a playoff game. You still feel that way? I'll give you a mulligan if you want.
In the left field, I kind of still do because of the previous storm. I'm not going to get too much of this. You know, it's most of it is Tom Brady, but he's the best. So, I still feel that way, although I'm going to say that the offensive line, people going on the offensive line, it's not their fault. Of course, like you said, you are right. It'll take a minute for them to get gel. But I would still just like to see some kind of outside threat just to have teams more, have them guessing all the time. That would help this offense a lot if we had some outside threat. But, but what I really was calling about is, I was talking to Harry, you were talking about Deion Sanders.
Yep.
and I have to disagree because I watch a lot of NFL Network.
Yeah, I do
and,
too.
Polar Access and what they do on Sunday. I forgot that countdown show on Sunday.
Yep, yep.
Every time I see Beyond saying the song on my Tom Brady or Belichick, as far as playing and coaching, he's always fucking good, especially Tom Brady. Every time they think about, you know, who's the better quarterback, Manning, Brady, he's always sticking Brady.
I'll agree with you there, that part. I have heard him say that. But what I'm saying is, when you make a ridiculous blanket statement, don't kid yourself, because the Tom Brady comment, I can tell you six or seven comments he's made over the years about the Patriots that have been so way off base, they're not even worth mentioning. That's how bad they were. But you can't just say, well, if the Patriots play Baltimore or Pittsburgh, they're going to be in some serious trouble. That's ridiculous. Because he refuses to say the other way around too. If Baltimore plays Pittsburgh here, they'll be in trouble. He can't look at it from that angle. I mean, you can't do that. You can't paint that broad of a brush.
Well, you're right, but I guess he's looking at it as in, well, you know, like, because last year we was in this position again, and I'm not taking last year to this year, but we were almost in the same identical position. The defense, to me, last year than this year, I think the defense was better last year than this year, and I think, you know, we were playing better offensively last year than this year. But, you know, being calmer how it is, it could probably turn yourself around and it could go opposite. So, you know, that's the only hope I think I get for the Patriots going, not one all the way to the Super Bowl, is if we have a lot of bad weather.
Why? Bad weather? Why? What does bad weather have to do with it?
No, I'm saying we play good in
Oh, I know that. Well, I know. I understand that. But let me ask you something. All right. Let me ask you something real quick because I got other calls I got to get to, Tyrone. But let me ask you this, okay? If the scenario plays out, let me ask you: you think Baltimore's going to win in Cincinnati this week? Because I don't.
I agree with you. I think Cincinnati going to win. I really think so because to me, Baltimore is like the New York Giants of the AFC. Yeah. They play sometimes. They're not too inconsistent.
All right.
But if they catch them on the right time, you know, they could do some damage. But I want to make one thing with Deion Blessing and Tyrone Underwood. I think this is my last summer I'm gone.
All right.
I think the offense looks better to me. You know, the times I see, to me, it looks better with Chad and Tyrone Underwood on the field than Deion Blessing. So I'll let you have that later, buddy. You guys have a good one. I told you guys later.
All right. Thanks, Tyrone. Branch was targeted 9 times. He had 3 catches. You know, of course, the touchdown catch he had, he made that nice move to cut back, and that was a remarkable touchdown by Brady. But, you know, again, Tyrone 5 weeks ago had this team not winning a playoff game. Like I said, you start looking at last year or the year before, you're crazy. Even last year, the way Gronkowski was nowhere near the force he is now, and Hernandez was I'm trying to think if Hernandez even played last year. If he did, he was really banged up. Heading into that playoff game. I'm not sure he even played in that game last year in that playoff game. I mean, it's just a total – every season is different. Every season is different. And there is no lock for any of these teams, anybody, to just waltz their way into the Super Bowl. But I really believe that it will be a difficult time for people to come in this building, in here, and put up 30, because I think that's what you're going to need to win this year. I think that's going to be the case, and the Patriots have yet to allow more than 24 points in any of their home, games. Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. Jeff is in Connecticut. Hey, Jeff. Jeff, you there? Jeff going once. Jeff going twice. All right, call back, Jeff. Here's Carl in Montreal. Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's happening, T-Man? Hey,
what's going on?
Good stuff. You know what? I watched the game last night. Great, you know, if you like offensive football, great football game.
Well, that's the league, isn't it? The league is offensive football.
Yeah, those teams really. I mean, if you look at the Packers and the Saints compared to the Patriots, they have a more vertical offense. They throw bigger shots down the field. Patriots are more throw it and then run after the catch.
Yeah,
they take their shots down the field. But my point I was getting to.
But you know, before you get to that, though, but do you realize that the Patriots lead the league in 20 plus yards through the air?
I didn't realize that.
That was I saw that stat. It may have changed after last night. They do. But I mean, what's great about all three offenses is that they're all a little different. I agree. the Green Bay and New Orleans are a little more vertical, but you know, let's put it this way: if the Patriots play New Orleans or the Patriots play Green Bay, and we're a long way away from that, but it'll be the ultimate track meet, and it could very well end up being whoever gets the ball last wins. It's just the way it is.
Well, the point I was trying to make there was I haven't watched obviously every state's game, but I watched the game, the Monday night game against the Giants. I watched enough of their games.
Yep.
And Breeze is really protected compared to Brady and Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers, I've seen some games where he's been sacked and, you know, they made adjustments. Same with the Patriots. They've got the first half, first quarters. But the same, like, I mean, against the Giants, he wasn't touched. I remember that Monday night game.
Yep.
And yesterday, yeah, he made a couple nice moves in the pocket. But, I mean, he gets a lot of time.
Well, again, you got to take what happened Sunday, if you've been listening, or Saturday, as I said. You got to understand. You lose Matt Light right before kickoff, and then you lose Mankins, you know, 5 minutes later in the game.
But it wasn't only this week, Pete. It's been other weeks, too.
No, but that was the – Miami was smelled blood right away, and that's why they were blitzing so often, and that's why it backfired on him in the second half, because once the Patriots – you know, once the guys who were set to play the rest of the game sold this, you know, the Solders and the McDonald's and the Cannons of the world, their backups, second, third, and fourth stringers in there, you know, once they got it going, I mean, that's when the protection started. But early on, I was not shocked at all that the Patriots had problems early on in that game, because I think it's difficult for any team. You take the starting left tackle and starting left guard right before kickoff off the they're not going to play. I think it's a difficult scenario. Yeah, they've had a couple of other slow starts before. But, again, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Exactly. And you know what my next point I'm getting to is, you know, people are going to talk about the three playoff losses. Now, I'll take away the Super Bowl because that was a Super Bowl.
Yep.
But the ones, the Ravens and the Jets. Now, this year I've got more confidence because from the start of the year, right from the first game, I felt that compared to last year's offense, there's bigger plays this year. Hernandez is improved. Gronkowski's improved.
Yep.
You know, Chad, when he's on, does stretch the field. Unfortunately, he always makes one catch, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a 1.5 over-under with this guy. But, you know, if you look at the year when we lost to the Ravens, people don't remember, we were 2-6 on the road that year.
Yep.
One of the wins was in London, England, and the other win was in week 16 or 17 at Buffalo, which sucked that year. So we weren't a great team that year.
Well, no, I didn't. And again, I picked, when I was at EEI, I picked Baltimore to win that game, and I just didn't like that way. And don't forget, Houston that year, the last game of the regular season, is when Welker went down, and they were just you could just tell the team was just deflated, absolutely deflated.
They were deflated when they lost that Indy game, when Belichick went for the 4th-and-1 or 4th
yeah.
and 2.
Yeah.
And after that game, I don't know. I mean, they weren't the same team after
no,
that
they,
game.
They won
the last four games, but they were playing lousy.
And then they had, you know, Rice ran back the touchdown to open the game, the kickoff in the Baltimore game, and that was it.
Well, it was actually from the 20, the first play from scrimmage.
The first play from scrimmage, yeah.
Block
yeah, exactly,
Mary
exactly.
Weather came shooting up the gap.
That's right.
It was a bad angle.
That's right. And then
Rice took it the whole way.
And then they did, but I think he ran one back for a touchdown as well on a kickoff too. I mean, it was 24-0 in that game before he could even blink.
In the first quarter. But, you know, the other thing is seeding. I mean, obviously, if we're going to play the six, who's probably going to be Cincinnati or Tennessee, one of those.
Well, not necessarily play the six. The six plays the three seed. So
yeah, well, that's why I don't think Houston. I mean, with Yates starting, you know, if the Jets would have gone in there, that would have been a perfect scenario for the Jets to have a rookie quarterback and attack him and whatever.
Yeah,
and,
they can watch though. They can watch from the golf course because that's what they'll be.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if we have to play the Steelers or the Ravens, and I'm like you, I think Cincinnati, having to win the game, we'll win that game.
Yep.
Ravens will become the wild card.
Yep.
And then I'm looking at Baltimore winning their game.
Yep.
And I don't know who the six is, but I would rather play the six or the three than Baltimore or Pittsburgh at the five.
Well, Baltimore could be in, but the Baltimore game, again, when they're going to have to go on the road, remember.
Yeah.
They're a totally different team on the road, so they either have to more than likely be at Oakland or at Denver, one of those two. And, I got to figure I would like their chances on the road against Denver. With their defenses and Tebow, but their defense on the road is not automatic. It's been lousy, to be honest with you. I don't know. I think anything can happen. The Ravens going on the road, I mean, they could get upset. I mean, that's a distinct possibility. But
one last question, Pete, before I let you go and wish you a Merry Christmas. I mean, a Happy New Year to you and Kevin and the rest of the
you too.
Nation. With next year contract years, with Wes Welker, Deion Branch, and I believe Chad Ochocinco, he has a 2-year, or does he have an option? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Do you think they bring back, I mean, they have to bring back Welker.
Well, Welker will be back.
Branch and Chad.
I don't know. I mean, definitely Welker. I mean, I don't think there's any question, even if they franchise him, which is probably more than likely what's going to happen. I don't know about the other two. I don't know.
Would you prefer either or? Would you prefer maybe like Chad in the second year opposed to an older branch?
Let's see what happens during the last game and then the postseason. Let's see. I mean, suppose Chad kind of emerges. I know it's fantasy to think that way, that all of a sudden, he really bursts onto the scene here in the playoffs and really makes an impact. You know, that can change a lot of things, you know, but we're a long way from that. I think it's hard to predict what this team is going to do, what direction they think they need to head in. But, it's good to see Branch get back in action and, catch that touchdown. I mean, a really nice move, and he can certainly help this team. Like you said, I'd love to see Chad be able to catch more than one pass a game. It would be nice.
Incredible.
It would be nice. But if I don't talk to you, have a happy new year, and we'll
talk before the playoffs, man.
Absolutely. Take care of yourself.
Okay, bye.
Thanks a lot. That's Carl in Montreal, one of our regular callers. Great caller. Here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, my Facebook me is Pete Shepherd, PETSHEPPARD. Web radio at patriots.com is email me, and you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Going to take another quick break. We're also going to hear from Matt Light coming up in just a little while as well. But we'll be back for the final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show on this Tuesday on patriots.com right after this.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pabs!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend.
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Nice going, Rex. Way to go. Way to stick those sexy feet of yours in your mouth and eat more crow. Unbelievable. This guy continues to provide bulletin board material for other teams and continues to get his butt kicked. And I seriously think they need to either they got to tell him next year to just shut your yap, because it's backfiring on him. It ain't working. Whatever these little motivational tactics you're doing, all you're doing is putting added unnecessary pressure on your team. I don't think they appreciate it. I don't care what they say publicly. Privately, they got to be pissed. They have to be. There's going to be enough pressure on it for any team to win any game in the NFL, let alone when your coach opens his big fat mouth and keeps guaranteeing all this stuff. And then, you know, childish after, well, we'll go out and play right now. Oh, I mean, my goodness. Again, the Jets can only get in the playoffs with a win, plus a Cincinnati loss, plus a Tennessee loss, plus an Oakland loss, or a Cincinnati loss, plus a Tennessee loss, or a Denver loss. So the Jets needs to win. Not only do they need to win in Miami, which will be a tough enough task for them, but they need three different scenarios to happen. Cincy, Tennessee, and Oakland all have to lose, or Cincy, Tennessee, and Denver all have to lose. I suppose it's possible. I mean, nothing's impossible, but highly unlikely the Jets are going to be in the playoffs when they'd start. Highly unlikely. So look for Cincinnati and Houston to be that first-round matchup, and then Baltimore, and my opinion will be Oakland, with Pittsburgh getting the number 2 seed, because Pittsburgh wins and Baltimore will lose, I believe, on Sunday. But we'll see. Long way to go. Hey, before we – I'm going to let you hear from Matt Light from earlier today, and then I'm going to come back and we'll recap what he said and have some closing thoughts for the show here today on a Tuesday. But here's Matt Light earlier today.
There, bud.
What happened the other day? You tried to push off on it.
Yeah, I just wasn't able to go the other day, unfortunately. And, you know, it's a rough deal, game day, you know, making that decision. But, you know, we'll work this week and we'll get back out there and it's feeling better.
What did you think of the guys that went in your place out there?
I think those guys all fought hard. I mean, to come back in the second half that way and battle back and get a win, I mean, that was a heck of an effort. And, you know, we got a lot of things we got to correct, and there's always a lot of things we got to do better. But, you know, those guys did a great job out there. And of course, you know, guys stepping up and playing positions they hadn't practiced and, you know, going through plays that they hadn't run, you know, maybe at all in some cases. It's not an easy task.
How often are different five-man line combinations able to practice together? I mean, even, like you said, some guys hadn't practiced.
I mean, you know, it was a short week anyway, relatively, you know, and there's only so many things that you can rep out there in practice. And, you know, you want your guys that are going to be playing in the game to take most of those. So a lot of times these guys that are in the backup position or guys that, you know, come in and out of the game, they're not going to get all those reps. They're not going to get hardly any of those reps. So it comes down to the film room and understanding the plays and the concepts and what we do, and then just doing it mentally, you know, for the most part.
How confident, Matt, are you that all of this is going to come together, everything will take care of itself? Once the playoffs begin, you guys, as an offensive line unit, will be fine.
Oh, I mean, I never have any lack of confidence in that. I mean, you know, whether it's, you know, Dante working with some of the younger guys or, you know, some of the vets talking to those guys or just guys stepping up and, you know, going out there and doing their job. I mean, it'll work out one way or the other.
You've had a lot of different combinations out there this year.
I think this is the president. Nope. Absolutely not.
You've had a lot of different combinations out there. I think you guys have had four different centers. What does it say about the group of guys that have been out there, you guys on a consistent basis?
I mean, we talked about it quite a bit this season, and I guess this season's been a little bit more of a shuffle than some of the past years. But I think overall it's just, again, it comes down to guys knowing their role and going out there and then executing when they get a shot. And they've been able to do that. So, you know, that's a good thing.
When Logan went down, what were your thoughts? What was going through your head? And, like, not again?
Not good. Yeah, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a guy that's never missed a, you know, practice or a game or, you know, had any of those kind of issues. And when you see that happen, it's always tough to watch. But, you know, I'm sure the Cowboy will ride again. He'll be good.
Have you stayed in touch with him since then? You talked to him?
Yeah, we just got out of, like, 8 hours of meeting. He's doing good.
How are his spirits?
Oh, I think he's doing great. Yeah, I'll leave that up to him. But, you know, his Fu Manchu still looks pretty good.
You guys have always talked about playing your best football after Thanksgiving, that postseason push. How do you feel about where you guys are right now as an offensive line?
I mean, you know, again, we haven't won anything. But, you know, nothing's happened yet. So, you know, we'll decide that down the road. You know, give us another month or so.
Matt. Pro Bowl teams will be announced tonight. You're actually second in the left tackle race.
Yeah, I could care less about all that stuff.
Really? I'd love to go to Hawaii.
It's a long flight, buddy. Enjoy it.
Do you think that this team has had some individual performances of guys who...
I think we got a lot of guys that go out there and work hard, prepare hard. Not an easy system to be in. You know, I've been fortunate to be in this system for quite a while now, and I tell you, it's... nothing to take for granted, you know, as far as all the work you put into it. But we got a lot of guys that have really stepped up and done a lot of great things. And, you know, obviously we got guys that know how to play this game pretty well.
The former college quarterback set the record for single season passes.
He's doing all right, isn't he? Yeah. He's a short guy.
Do you take any, Tom will have a shot to challenge the match that at some point next week. Does that stuff matter to you in the annals? Because someday people will look at the record books and see who you end up with.
No, I mean, you know, I'm sure it's a cool thing for those guys, you know, something they can hang their hat on. But, you know, as far as us up front, we just want to go out there and win games. If that works, we're good to go.
Matt, you guys just came together as a team and gave Mr. Kraft that photo at the game. What was that experience like? Just, you know, about some emotion on the team.
You know, every guy in this organization, whether you've been here for, you know, 8 months or 6 months or you've been here for 11 years, you realize the importance of this organization, not just football and everything that brings to it, but you realize, you know, off the field, how much it means to the Kraft family and this organization to, you know, represent yourself in a way, in a certain way, and live your life in a certain way, and, you know, keep family, you know, at the top of the list and all that stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of times you kind of forget about it in the day-to-day, you know, hustle and bustle. And, you know, I think that, you know, to each guy in this locker room, we wanted to be able to tell, you know, Mr. Kraft, his family, that, you know, we understand, you know, this has been a tough year. And we wanted to, you know, commemorate that with something that was one of a kind, that was special, that really talked to that, you know, the what we dedicated the season to, and that's Myra. And I think that it was just a fun way, a neat way for us to all come together and do something for him. And again, like, you know, you kind of forget to tell your boss that you appreciate working somewhere, you know, and this was just a thing that we could do, you know, each guy, each coach, each player, to show him how much, you know, we're behind him, and how much, you know, she meant to all of us, and you know, the impact that she's left on all of us, and what that's like. So, you know, it was a cool moment. It was really nice to be able to get a win and then be able to, you know, present that to him.
How did it all come about, Matt?
You know, I think all the guys, you know, we kind of sat around and we talked about, you know, what are some ways in which we could, you know, do something really special for him. And, you know, we threw out a lot of things out there, but I think, you know, having a custom painting, something that's really one of a kind, that really spoke to, you know, that dedication and what this organization is all about. I think that was something that we all agreed on would be a neat thing to do. And it was nice to be able to get it done, and the timing of it all worked out pretty good.
All right, Patriots left tackle Matt Light speaking. Was that early today? Was that today? Yeah, it was today. Yeah. Classy as always. And again, having just arguably one of his best seasons, might be his best season, and he really has. When you think about, and I've said it time and time again, how what a bad rap, so much he goes underappreciated for what he has been able to do. I think more than any other Patriot player, I think he is the most underappreciated guy since he's been here, because on average there's about 60 offensive plays that you have to go up against every week, sometimes more, sometimes a little less, but usually around 60. So for 60, 65 plays around there, people always remember the two or three or four even that somebody might get by him, and not remember the other 60 to 61, or, you know, the other 60 that he stopped. And he has done a remarkable job this year on some great pass rushers all over the place. You know, Tumba Ali, what's his name in Washington for the Redskins. Taylor the first game against Miami. The list goes on and on. He has done a great job, and I'm so glad. And that's the first time I heard that today. And he made my point. He was making my point about the offensive line. And you guys have got to realize in football games, it doesn't matter if it's the Patriots or anybody, you lose Matt Light seconds before kickoff, and then you lose Mankins shortly thereafter. As Matt just told you, he said, guys had to go play positions that they didn't even practice in that week. So I don't understand why people were so shocked early on that the offense couldn't get it going. Miami knew that. They smelled blood, and Belichick would have done the same thing, believe me, had the situation been reversed. It's such an important factor, the cohesiveness of an offensive line, especially on a team like the Patriots that, you know, that rely on, you know, on passing, as most of the league does. But it would, even if they weren't as a passing team like they are, it still would matter. It would matter a lot. Initially, the first half, I don't know. I'm amazed sometimes that people just don't get it. And I've yet to hear anybody else bring it up. And that was a key factor in that game. Early on, like I said, I turned to my wife. I said, this is going to be ugly in the first quarter or two. I said, because they're just not, they, you know, you can't ask people to go play tackle and guard who are not used to playing. Not only that, then you're not used to playing next to guys that you'd normally be playing next against and all that stuff. And despite the depth that the Patriots have at offensive line, and I think it's a lot better than most of us thought it was going to be. I know. I mean, it's bad enough you lost your starting center, you know, weeks ago. That's big enough, an all-pro center in Kopey. But, I mean, you could not say enough about these guys. I mean, Dan Connolly, Ryan Wendell, and Nick McDonald, Marcus Cannon, Solder being versatile both sides. I mean, my God, it's unheard of. Look what happened to the Jets. They lost their center for one game. They were an entirely different team. Entirely different. And then he was back for the Patriot game after Baltimore humiliated them. They were back for the Patriot game, and the Patriots whacked them here too. But, I mean, look at what the offensive line has accomplished. You know, and despite, you know, obviously in the first half of Saturday's game, you know, Brady getting knocked around and sacked and all that stuff. And, I mean, it has to be expected a little bit. I know Bill doesn't like it. I know he's going to come out and say he's angry about it publicly, but, you know, Matt Light just summed it all up. He goes, you know, guys go in there and they have not even practiced together like that, not even had snaps next to each other during certain plays. It makes a difference. I know why ESPN and NFL Network didn't talk about it, because it doesn't fit their agendas. That is a key. Those are key plays. It's key a matchup right there, as any other matchup, offense, defense in that game, was when Light and Mankins were not in that game. Huge, huge. And I think Dan Fouts was doing the game, and he didn't even come close to even talking about it. Nobody even during the game, if I remember correctly, didn't even talk about it. It was just Miami, you know, killing the Patriots. Miami killing the Patriots, and the Patriots are slow. This, that. It was like all these. And I'm screaming at the television. They're working it out. They got guys that haven't played together all week now, forced to play offensive line together. Insane. Matthew says, I keep hearing you guys panic about playoffs and losing in the first game. How can you let these two playoff losses psych you out? Let's remember the Ravens defeated us without Welker and fresh off injury Tom Brady. Look at the matchup history for the Ravens. Never beat us. We were 6-0. This is also the team who has been up and down all year. You talk about not being able to close out lesser opponents. Well, the Ravens can't get beat by any lesser opponents. One thing we have that these others don't is resilience and adjustments. The Ravens and Steelers live and die by plan A, and they fail against teams who force them to make adjustments. That's a great point, by the way. And I talk about the Patriots' resiliency all the time. But that is a good point. All in all, I'm 100% secure in our chances. I see determined Tom Brady to not go out in the first round. And once the championship happens, I expect Belichick to reach in the archives and pull out one of those championship game plans he's been waiting to pull out. And I say we win this year and next, he says. And next year. He's going to win back-to-back Super Bowls. Well, I hope you're right. I do indeed. I hope you're right. Well, that's just about going to do it today on the Pete Shepherd Show. Again, tomorrow. We have anybody coming up tomorrow? Any guests? I'm putting it in.
Working on it as we speak.
Yeah.
See me working on my phone back here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't realize that. My bad. But, yeah, so we'll have somebody on tomorrow. If not, certainly more than capable of reading all the emails from you guys. There's lots to talk about, not only with the Patriots, but just the playoff scenarios and, you know, what you guys think. Why don't you think about this? Your homework assignment for tonight is tell me how you think the last couple of playoff spots are going to work out here. Baltimore. I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going to flippity-flop with the number 5 and the number 2 seed, or what? And how about Denver? Think about that. Denver and Oakland. What do you think is going to happen in the AFC West? And even in the NFC with the Giants and Dallas. A very, very interesting game. I just don't trust Tony Romo at all in December, so I'd have to go with the Giants in that one for a lot of reasons. They're at home. I think the last game was 37-34. Yeah, I just don't like that. I mean, Dallas is really playing lousy. Not that the Giants are playing great, but they certainly... showed me a little something by beating the Jets the way they did, although I'm not surprised because I picked them to win outright. But we'll do it all tomorrow here on the Pete Shepherd Show, live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing this whole thing. And we'll be back right here. And John Rook will be back tomorrow as well, too, right? He's doing the Providence St. John's game tonight in New York, or in Queens. I'm sure they're not at Madison Square Garden. Not sure. Are they Madison Square Garden tonight?
Is that St. John's? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's probably at their old, what their version of Alumni Hall is. Probably in Queens, so. John will be back tomorrow from 2 to 4 right here on Patriots.com, and I will follow him as usual. Have a great and safe rest of your Tuesday night, everybody. Bye-bye. Somewhere between Cher and James Dean is fine for me.
'cause we all just wanna be big rock stars and live in Hilltown.
Pete Shepherd.
Pete Shepherd.
The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.